City of Parramatta, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Yeah, that's right. Are you fired up? Have you left your mobile phones on the table? Because it's time for the Grizzle on 2SER 107.3. Got a huge show for you this evening. Sins of commission. Turnbull banks on an inquiry to save his political skin. Will he be able to survive through to next year? Who knows? We'll be talking about leadership at risk as the PM's ship is sinking fast, with free advice coming from the State Parliament of New South Wales. Dastyari, I know, crouching tiger, hidden donation. Will the Labour factional power broker be able to make it through to the next election? And what on earth is going on in Queensland? They're well-read, but not in a good way. Will Pauline Hanson ever rise again? All that and more, you're on the Gristle. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3, 2SER.com, and possibly being broadcast at a Chinese press conference, but not in English. Big shout out to The Wire. Excellent. Communist Party funded, half hour of current affairs there, Starve and Marvin.
Oh, yes, particularly when I'm on, although I wasn't on today.
Indeed, indeed. Ni hao. joining me, the Punditaker, on the panel is, of course, Starve and Marvin. Now, we've got warm lettuce, and we've got a former guest whose name escapes. Do we have a pseudonym?
It escapes me from last time as well.
I'm not entirely
sure what it was last time.
Indeed, maybe policy wonk.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Now, things are getting wonky in Parliament. Malcolm Turnbull seems to have amnesia combined with backflips, which would make for an interesting Olympics dive. Warm lettuce, the Prime Minister was adamant that a Banking Royal Commission was unnecessary, a waste of time on Wednesday, and then by Thursday he had changed his tune. What on earth happened to the member for Wentworth?
Well, look, I think in the end he felt like he had no option. He had no option at all. And so if you treat days of the week like drinks, what ended up happening was Malcolm was at a party and he kept every drink that he had. He was getting later on in the week and he realised all the other options had left, and all he was left was with the girl that he told all his friends, oh, don't worry, I'm not gonna go there. It's never going to happen. It's a bad idea to hook up with her. And then, you know, that's exactly what happened. And I think that's Malcolm Turnbull with the Royal Commission. Forced into it by no other choice.
Indeed. Policy wonk, I mean, sort of, do you see this again as just more weakness from a spineless Prime Minister, or more weakness from a spineless Prime Minister?
I mean, yeah, it is a pretty humiliating backflip. And, you know, the terms of reference now are being redirected towards what seems to not be even the original purpose.
Into
the super funds.
They should stay away from the union slush funds.
It seems like as a way to, you know, get this issue off the front pages.
Yeah.
It's not really the best way to go about it. So
it just looks like utter weakness, though, doesn't it? I mean, surely, who is he? Like, what has he achieved by this? I just don't understand.
I mean, I think it perhaps does look like weakness, but that narrative was kind of already there.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's just building.
He's just been consistent.
So I think that's exactly. The thing here is that you got to view it not as a deliberate strategy. It is a harm minimisation approach. So he knew that the Nats and Labor and the Greens had the numbers to bring on a very broad commission that not only looked at all the scandals that we saw in life insurance and common insurance and all the rest, but also looked at things like banker pay. Do they get paid too much? Looking at the integration of banks, should they even be involved in these industries? It was a very broad thing that was coming at the government. They knew that the other side had the numbers, so they thought, well, if we change it and announce a royal commission, that means we get to choose what it's about. And as you said just before, Policy Wonk, it's now about unions and those industry super funds.
It is now,
Why, Pundertaker, couldn't he see this coming? I mean, wouldn't you have at least let the National Party have the presidency of the Senate? Let them have some little pathetic scrap of...
Throw them a bone to chew on.
Throw them
some blood and bone.
You know, they're the ones that have stuffed themselves up and stuffed the whole numbers in the parliament up. So they really had, you know, that nothing to hang their hat on. And so he gives them nothing, and then he thinks they're not going to want a bit of revenge.
I know.
Well, here it comes in spades, you know. And what can you do about it? He's sat on his high horse for far too long. Now he's just had to fall off.
Now, of course, the real story is now the chattering classes that are the Liberal Party and Nats are now talking openly that maybe Mr. Turnbull won't make it. Now, Deputy Premier,
Leader
Deputy
of the
Premier
Nationals.
John Barilaro, yeah. Member for Monaro. I know because I have looked closely at his electorate, and he's a bit
it's
of a do nothing MP.
Slightly marginal, though, isn't it? I think
it is excessively marginal. Came out and offered some free advice for Malcolm Turnbull that the best Christmas present that Australia could ever have would be if the Prime Minister steps down. He's right, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that a lot of people would be very happy about that. Not to mention all those people up north in the National Party. I'm sure they're barracking for John Barilaro to be the next deputy dog in the Senate.
Now, Policy Wonk, not everyone in the LNP was happy about this. Lou O'Brien MP, Queensland MP, said on Facebook to the Deputy Premier of New South Wales, quote, "Seems like a good bloke that Mr. Barilaro seems like a good bloke and everyone is entitled to an opinion. Mine is that John should focus on his role as vice-captain of a reserve grade and let the big boys and girls take care of federal matters." Like, isn't that the leadership that Malcolm Turnbull really should be demonstrating?
I mean, perhaps, but look, the problem with all this and every suggestion that you just get rid of him is, unlike all the other scenarios where people have been, you know, deposed of, there's just no credible alternative. They don't really have a strategy in place to do
Warringah.
That. I mean, yeah, there's just no, you know, next option that's absolutely
locked in.
What about
Peter Dutton?
I mean, maybe that Queensland MP.
I've
always wanted to have a potato as Prime Minister.
Oh, indeed.
I think that fits Peter Dutton's face.
Indeed.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right, of course. There is no clear alternative because a lot of the people that have made demands saying get rid of Turnbull specifically looked ahead and said make sure it's not Julie Bishop, who's also a moderate. They say not her. It's got to be someone from the right. And who's it going to be? I think Scott Morrison's angling. I think he's angling. It's why he got into bed with the gay marriage opponents, even though he said he supported it. He's
Did
now
he really?
Backing all their amendments. He's the one arguing for their amendments. So I think he's doing that to position himself for leadership.
He's the only one that's mildly competent as a politician.
No, I actually heard the opposite, but I'm a Labor Party hack.
I said mildly.
Do we think that the government is now in save the furniture territory, where they see the writing on the wall, they are going to lose the next federal election, and so now they just want to save their own skin? Is this the psychology, do you think, that's prevailing?
I think that is the case. And that's why when there's a lot of speculation that, you know, there's going to be an early election as well. And people think, you know, it's just inevitable with the citizenship crisis, everything. It's that it's going to fall over and they're kind of going to be forced to do this. I kind of think it's going to be the opposite. You know, Turnbull will hold on for dear life, delay it as long as possible. And, yeah, perhaps try and get some wins, you know, some runs on the board before the next election.
I mean,
hold on, save some face.
I mean, Turnbull, if he's not PM, what's he going to do? Run Oz email? I don't understand. Like, what is the career trajectory for Malcolm Turnbull after the Prime Minister?
Does he need one? I mean, sure, just get a point cyber and watch
Secretary
Netflix.
Of State in the US looks like it's coming up. No, he could take that over. You don't have to be a US citizen for that, do you? It's only president.
He does have a New York residence as well.
Exactly.
He does. All right.
He can sit down and, you know, plot in.
We're going to go to a brief track. And coming up after the break, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Donation, The Life and Times of Sam Dastyari. Stick around, you're on 2SR 107.3. This is Club Feet. We Are Affected, featuring Kroger's right hand, who's not here today, but he's in there somewhere. Stick around. This is 2SER.
responsible for every scratch and every little blow. But when you locked yourself away, I tried to drink myself to kingdom come.
Yeah, that's right. We are affected here on the Gristle. That was Club Feet. You're on 2SCR 107.3, 2SCR.com. And as I was saying during the intro, possibly being translated into Mandarin, courtesy of your favourite political activist. Now, this week, huge nuclear incident, but not on the Korean Peninsula. Labour Senator Sam Dastyari, in full disclosure here, whom I may or may not have done some work for in the past, was
what were the dates? What were the dates upon the take?
It was entirely in English. I'll leave it at that.
Financial advice there at all?
was shot down in flames this week by a hatchet job from Fairfax and the ABC. Two incidents: one, a recording of a press conference he gave in support of China's foreign policy position over the Spratly Islands and navigation in the South China Sea. And secondly, allegations, because that's all they were, about talking with a Chinese billionaire that maybe they should leave Siri on their mobile phones off on the table and have a chat about how lovely the garden is outside. Team, thoughts on whether Senator Dastyari...
I'm sorry, I feel like I've stepped into an entirely different radio station. I seem to recall for the better part of the last few years, we've been willing to go Donald Trump over his potential Russia ties and saying that there's a lot of evidence there, even if they haven't proven it conclusively, and now you're playing the, it's just allegations.
Have an investigation
it's
into Donald Trump.
Job. It's a
I'm a lawyer.
Job.
I'm a lawyer.
There's
and
a recording,
I always...
right? And as far as I'm a,
A very clear recording that has
been distributed to the press. And not only did Dastyari alleged to have undermined ASIO,
these are two different things.
Makes it even stronger. This is a man who is
The ASIO thing's got nothing to do with the recording that came out, which was of the press conference, which we already knew about. Old news.
That's great, except for the fact that you're brushing under the rug that the expansion of China and the South China Sea is directly relevant to our national interest, our strategic interest. It's like saying, somebody said that it wasn't so bad the Germans invaded Poland. It's just an opinion. No, it's not just
an
opinion.
It wasn't that bad, though, was it? Poland's still there.
Everyone
complaining about?
I don't know. Tell that to all the people that lost their lives in that war. Don't pretend it's not a big issue.
He came in. He said in press conferences and all these interviews afterwards that
he mumbled it.
It wasn't mumbled, was it? He shouldn't have been asked. If he was asked, if he did answer it, if he might have said something, it was wrong.
Policy
it was all wrong. It was all
like,
wrong.
Policy Wonk, surely, you know, some of us can mumble in the Queen's English. Surely it's you know.
It looked like a pretty pre-prepared
mumble. I mean,
but what I don't understand is how it did take this long. Just not you know, saying there's any conspiracy or anything. I'm just
not saying anyone has a hatchet job.
I'm actually curious about how it took so long for this footage to come out from something that was just at the top of the cycle.
It certainly wasn't at the behest of the Liberal Party, because they would not release it at this exact time.
Exactly. Like,
they would have released it a lot earlier ago. Mm. So either you believe it's ASIO, which is pretty huge.
We were chatting about.
Yes,
so
it is. Or you think it's an inside job, and I think somebody inside the Labor Party went after Sam.
So let's just, again, keep in our minds clear the two events. One is this press conference tape, okay, which is clear as day, and clearly Dastyari wasn't mumbling. But then there's this other allegation, which in my view, frankly, is more serious than a Labor senator going out and contradicting a separate Labor senator who's made a statement on foreign policy, which is this allegation that Dastyari went to meet the so-called Chinese whale and said that they better put their phones on the table because they might be being bugged, because intelligence agencies can activate your phone and listen to it without you knowing if you need be. Now, this is an allegation which he and the Chinese guy have denied, but if that was true, then that is the serious thing. Surely.
It is. Didn't he say he went there?
He said he went there, but he said he never said to, you know, try and avoid ASIO counter-surveillance.
Did they go in the garden?
I don't know if they went in the garden. Maybe he has an amazing garden.
Did they have their mobile phones in the garden? I mean, you know.
This sort of stuff is very provable, but let me ask a question. This is exactly right. That is exactly right. If this is the gristle, right? If Donald Trump, one of his advisors, had gone out and met with somebody that was closely associated with Vladimir Putin, and the allegation was that they said,
the CIA is bugging this, let's
go outside and have a private conversation.
Yeah, they should have an investigation before you condemn him.
And the Democrats, no, come on, that's not what the Democrats, that's not what the left has done. We have not been like, let's wait and give due process.
Yes, it is. Everyone's been calling for Robert Mueller to investigate, not for Trump to resign without investigation.
But that's different. It is entirely different. You cannot compare the resignation of the President of the United States
to the resignation of a Labor Party factional power broker.
Yeah, no, no. But what I'm saying is that you can absolutely be in a position where the President resigns, he can't come back. You can be in a position that says Senator Sam Dastyari will sit as an independent outside the Labor Party until such time that an investigation is complete. Now, you can do that.
Innocent until proven guilty in this country.
Well, look, does anybody really believe that the ASIO and the media are in a conspiracy to defraud Dastyari, given his speech backing the expansion of China against our allies and national, which he hasn't disputed? Does anybody think it's an extra stretch to say, well, if he supports China,
I'm not in a position to judge.
I think we should let due process
follow itself out. Innocent until proven guilty. You're such a fair man.
You look at his words. He hasn't come out strongly and said, oh, this definitely didn't happen.
Yes, he did say that about the ASIO.
He said, I have never passed on counterintelligence to somebody else, which is a specific way of wording it, which you've got to look at legally and say, I gave them a dossier, or I gave them something marked confidence, which is different to saying, oh, I didn't let somebody under surveillance know they were under surveillance, which is what he did, and he undermined a CIA and an ASIO investigation.
Innocent until proven guilty. You're on the crystal.
Which is traitorous.
Policy Wong, do you think Senator Dastyari will survive?
I think he will hold on to his position in the Senate for sure. I mean, perhaps something like you're suggesting could happen. But kind of like what we were saying before, he got absolutely lucky with the timing, really, in the end.
I mean,
it does seem unusual to me that perhaps the announcement of the Royal Commission wasn't delayed until midday, perhaps? I mean, it was first thing in the morning.
It was his big thing. Senator Dastyari's big thing was the banking Royal Commission, and then his thunder was stolen, translated into Chinese.
He actually gave his speech, his first speech in the Senate, admitting I did wrong, etc., during Malcolm Turnbull's announcement of the Royal Commission. They were literally at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
that has got to hurt. Mm. Indeed. Look, all right. Well, I think we've all agreed that Sam Dastyari is not guilty of anything. And so we will...
Welcome to Labour Radio.
We will now go to a quick crack, Mara, and we can get down. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the Queensland election, maybe a dash about gay marriage, and maybe even Donald Trump's tweets, although, honestly, I love them. Stick around. You're on Crystal and 2SR on 7.3.
Baby, you don't mess around. Ooh, baby, you don't mess around. Ooh, baby, you don't mess around. Ooh, baby, you don't mess around. Get down. Get down. Get down. Get down. Get
Let's try a bit of two-step there from Myron. We can get down. You're on the Crystal on 2SR 107.3, 2SR.com, possibly being listened to via podcast. Now, joined by me, of course, a punter taker, policy wonk, Starvin Marvin, warm lettuce, and some shadowy underworld figures in the background.
I believe we call them faceless men.
They have not left their phones outside. ASIO, I just... All right. Yeah. It wasn't me. Now, the other big tectonic event on the weekend, which we would be remiss of us to not discuss, Queensland election. It was a big red, orange, rangery shaped, coloured fizzer, wasn't it, team? Pauline Hanson's party was talking up winning 10
Pauline
seats.
Pauline Hanson got caught with her pants down.
She did. Pauline exactly pants right. down and Pauline zero preferences down. They look like they may only win one seat.
Mm.
The Palaszczuk government looks set to win a majority of votes. I mean, James Ashby's got a lot to answer for, surely. Just seems like a bit of a shit advisor if that's all they got.
I mean, often you want to downplay your expectations, kind of, you know, leverage yourself as the underdog.
Mm. Yeah,
idea of them just putting themselves in this position where they're almost guaranteed to their voters that they're going to be holding the balance of power, it just inflates their catastrophic...
Saying that you will win 10 seats and then winning one. I mean, how out of...
And losing your leader. And,
how out of bounds.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, they were always going to lose the leader. I mean, he never polled above 20%, so how was he ever going to win that seat? I mean, it was just fantasy land.
That's true.
But how are you going to get into One Nation with that attitude, Starvin Marvin?
Nevertheless, when you see that a lot of seats had votes with One Nation percentages starting with three, like over 30%.
That's true.
How many seats?
And let's not.
It's pretty worrying. Yeah, if you're looking at the federal
election. All
those votes
came from the Liberal and National Party Queenslanders.
A large chunk of them did, yeah. But let's not lose.
Not all of them.
Well, let's not lose size.
And they didn't go. And they didn't. All the preferences didn't flow to the. What's happened to the LNB? LNP. They're 9% down, and 9%. You know.
All right.
Let's not lose sight of the fact, agreeing absolutely, Starvin Marvin, that they performed extremely well in a lot of areas.
13%
and they got
primary.
13% across the state, which is higher than the Greens, despite Adani, which you would
think. Yes, it is higher than the Greens.
It is higher, which only got, they didn't even make 10%.
Yeah.
So they actually got quite a bit higher, despite Adani, which is probably the biggest cause they've
ever had.
It's true. So the Greens are also on track to win one. I think that's a reflection.
Which it wasn't Jackie Trad, was it?
Oh, you haven't been following Maywa. This has shifted ahead in the primary votes, and it's whoever comes.
It's about a couple
ahead,
of dozen.
It's
votes,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's Maywa like 12 was a hipster
seat. Hang on. One at a time, thanks, because our listeners
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So whoever wins on primary between Labor and Greens will win that seat. And there is an outside possibility if Labor loses on postal votes, which we traditionally do bad in the remaining seats, that we could still be forced into a Greens-Labor government up there. It is still a possibility. Watch this space.
I want to ask Policy Wonk thoughts on the implications for the Turnbull government. Everyone was telling the Liberal Party that the preference deal with One Nation in Western Australia brought them nothing but catastrophe. Do you think that the coalition federally will learn the second lesson of politics in this country, which is don't pussyfoot with One Nation?
You would have to think that that is a pretty clear lesson out of this. I mean, this is a catastrophic election for the LNP.
Yeah.
And largely because, 10% of their vote, 5% of their vote went to One Nation.
Went to the fish and chip shop.
We went down. But still, even with that, they're nowhere near getting a majority. They're still, not doing well. You would be crazy to embrace them at a federal election after this result.
I know.
The LNP primary vote was, 4% below Labor's? It's atrociously low. Lower than it's been in a long time.
I think in the last two elections in Queensland, their primary vote has fallen something like 12% from where it was two elections ago. I mean,
so the question, punditaker, for you, because you always ask us questions, is this a bit like Labor trying to appease the Greens and still losing Northcote? That you can try to play games and all the rest, but if you don't view the people on
the
your
enemy.
Fringe as your enemy, you lose votes.
I think that's exactly right. I can't think of any case, and I'm sure it applies to the Liberals and their far right wing, but for the Labor Party, someone call in, tweet to SCR, a case where Labor has happily gone into bed with the Greens and their vote has gone up. Like, tell me a case where Labor has done better by not trying to smash the Greens. I don't, and I know a lot of people think the Greens are the conscience of the Labor Party, which is absolute rubbish, but I genuinely don't see any political advantage from getting into bed with Bob Brown, as fun as that would be,
that's true. So, although I will put myself on the record as I actually disagree in Queensland because the Adani project is so bad. It is the worst project this country has seen in my lifetime, and in that case, it's probably the only time I'll ever say this. I wouldn't mind having a Green representative in there because the Labor Party is so weak on Adani that it is depressing.
Yeah, but
and
so
I,
what's that
I
going,
actively dislike the Greens.
Would you be looking for someone like Lee Rhiannon, for instance?
No.
On your side. Because,
yes, oh my
Lee
God,
Rhiannon,
thank you, Starvin.
Lee Rhiannon, look, she's out of the picture,
She is.
The left,
I know,
the
my
New
God.
South Wales left of the Greens seems to have, circled
Soviet,
down and gone down the toilet.
Soviet Socialist Republic of Marrickville is no more.
Yeah, so it's Bob Brown or the highway.
So let's just give a very quick rundown. Lee Rhiannon was deselected as primary Senate candidate for the Greens in New South Wales. This is like Gorbachev's perestroika and glasnost in the Greens.
Yeah, it's now Gorby.
Tintin has entered the building.
Tintin has entered the building, and I think I actually might have been the first to see this happen because the Greens hold their meetings not very far from where I'm based, and I was walking by last weekend, and I unheard what I understand would have been a consensus.